And we are joined today to talk K-State athletics with our K-State in Focus with Kellis Robinette. He is the beat writer for K-State Sports for the Wichita Eagle and the Kansas City Star. Kellis, how you doing? Have you recovered from your Super Bowl escapades over Super Bowl weekend?
just barely. I definitely ate a little bit too many chicken wings and maybe had an ounce or two too much of beer on Sunday, but we're getting back to normal. The most painful thing anymore is just the Chiefs played so bad, right?
Yeah, that's still tough to deal with, no doubt about it. And, you know, I think you're with me, and you can jump on the bandwagon with me, or maybe you're leading the bandwagon, and that is that we need Monday after Super Bowl Sunday to be a national holiday and give us a day off, right?
Definitely, or move the game to Saturday or something. But yeah, I mean, the biggest day of the year for everyone to be gluttons. We can't be going to work the day after. I think it's time to change that.
Because if your team loses, you're in misery like we were yesterday. And then there's a hangover. There's a hangover if people drink too much, but there's a hangover when your team loses. And then there's a hangover of partying too much and being on cloud nine when your team wins. I remember last year when the Chiefs won it, I couldn't go to bed because I was so full of adrenaline, so fired up the Chiefs won. And I couldn't sleep worth a darn the other night because the Chiefs lost. And I'm replaying in my head, like, what went wrong? Now imagine what the players and the coaches are doing as well. And then, oh, yeah, I got to go to work on Monday. So I don't care whether your team wins or loses, or if you don't even have a dog in the fight and you're out with your friends or at a party or you're just hanging out at home, everybody needs that Monday off, man.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, why? I mean, we've got all these days out there like Columbus Day that could easily be moved or replaced. Let's just go ahead and put it right here in early February. That's what I said.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. All right. Well, let's talk about the K-State men's basketball team. They've lost 10 in a row. They wish they won 10 in a row. They've lost 10 in a row. 1-10 in Big 12 play. 5-15. They play Texas tonight. I know there were some signs of life after being blown out quite a bit lately in the Big 12 against Texas Tech. What did you take out of that loss to the Red Raiders this past weekend?
I mean, I don't want to sound too positive here because, like you said, they have lost 10 in a row, and their loss to Texas Tech was still by 11 points. So, I mean, we're not talking – I mean, as far as moral victories go, you're even kind of stretching a little bit there. But compared to the way they have been playing, that was the best they've looked against a team with a winning record since the calendar year turned to 2021. And I don't know if it was just that they kind of match up a little bit better with Texas Tech than most teams. When they played them earlier this season, they lost by 11-2. Mm-hmm. I think there is a little something to that, just that Tech is not an offensive juggernaut. They're not going to run away from you. That makes it a little bit easier for Kansas State to at least play that type of team close. But I did really like the intensity. The guys were slapping the floor a lot, almost like they were Duke on defense. So you like to see that. It's kind of a little worrisome, like where has that been all season? But if, and again, it's a little bit of an if here, but if they can keep harnessing that energy and playing that way, you at least feel good that maybe down the course of the rest of the season they're not going to be losing by 25.
Of all the players on this team, and it's a very young team as we know, what player in your estimation has the most upside and potential to be really good or great?
Yeah, it probably comes down to Nigel Pack or Davion Bradford. Mm-hmm. Pack is obviously the better player right now. He's actually their leading scorer, I believe, by a smidge over Mike McGurl. And I think he's got the potential to be one of the better guards that Bruce Weber's recruited at Kansas State. I think he could be right up there with Barry Brown, Marcus Foster, Wesley Wundu, if you want to call him a guard. I think he could be, if he stays here for four full years and develops, he could be a really, really good all Big 12 type player by the time he leaves. But I'm also very intrigued by Davion Bradford, just because he's a very different type of player than Bruce Weber has had. He's a true center, 7-foot guy, and when they actually go out of their way to get the ball into him, good things happen. I really liked earlier in the season when they went four guards and him in the middle. I think that's when they played their best basketball, when they beat Iowa State. They won 4 or 5 there. They've kind of gotten away from that a little bit. But I'm intrigued by his long-term potential, too. I think he's a very good player.
Kellis Robinette, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, part of our own focus on K-State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. The matchup tonight is against Texas. Texas is struggling. They've lost 3 in a row. Your thoughts on a rematch against the Longhorns tonight?
Yeah, it's a game of two struggling teams, right? Texas was 10-1. Now they're 11-5. They lost 4-5. They've lost 3 in a row. So I don't know that they're firing on all cylinders like they were previously, and maybe that has a little bit to do with they had that COVID pause. Shaka Smart had to miss a few games because he got COVID. Maybe that had something to do with it, but at the same time, their losses have been the opposite of Kansas State's. They lost to Tech by 2 on a buzzer beater, lost to Oklahoma by 1 on a buzzer beater, they lost to Baylor by double digits, but everybody loses to Baylor by double digits, and then they lost to Oklahoma State in double overtime. They're still pretty good, even though they are in a little bit of a losing streak here. The one thing that does favor Kansas State is Texas's offense has been in decline a little bit lately, especially against Oklahoma State. They shot just a crazy low percentage in that game. I'm trying to pull it up right here, but they shot 34% from two-point range and 14% from three-point range in their last game.
Yikes.
So if that continues, if they shoot like that tonight in Bramlage, Kansas State will have a chance.
But they still went to double overtime. I mean, they shot that poorly and still almost won. That tells you how good they are. That's the scary part, because if they start making shots, they're going to be right back to where they were, a top five team.
Yeah, exactly. And they've got lots of talent. And the thing that has to scare you about this matchup, I guess more than anything from Kansas State's perspective, is that Texas just has a lot of depth on their bench. You saw when they played the first time, they were even without, I believe, two starters, and it didn't matter. They just plugged other guys in and still wiped the floor with them. Got a lot of size, got a lot of athleticism. Like you just mentioned, even when they're shooting at crazy low percentages, they still take a team that's currently ranked in the top 25 to double overtime. This is definitely the best team Shaka Smart has had in Austin, even if they are losing right now.
Kellis Robinette, K-State beat writer for the Wichita Eagle, Kansas City Star, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Our focus on K-State athletics, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric in Beloit. All right, what is your take on the comments recently by Athletic Director Gene Taylor about the status of Bruce Weber for next year?
Yeah, I mean, he clearly wants people to know that he's supporting his coach. I wouldn't necessarily take it to the bank quite yet that there's no chance that Bruce Weber isn't back, even though he went on radio yesterday and said he's not even thinking about making a change. What it means is that he believes that this season can be chalked up to COVID, and there are plenty of reasons why the team is struggling. You can assess them and think of them, you know, as you will. Some people don't really think they're valid excuses. Some people think that, boy, yeah, they've had injuries, they've had COVID problems. You can tell why they're losing. But kind of where I'm at with it is, if the team can at least keep showing the fight they did against Texas Tech, close out the year, maybe win a game or two, then I think they'll probably say, all right, let's hit the reset button and hope that this young nucleus can be healthy next season and do some better things down the road. But if they go back to losing every game by 25, then they'll have to reevaluate.
Kellis, help me out with this, because I'm in sales. A lot of people in radio, a lot of people in media, a lot of people in the country are you know, part of their job is sales in one way or another. In radio and in media, you have to kind of be multidimensional in order to survive, you know, cuts and things like that. It helps to be able to do more than one thing. And so, you know, we all here have some sales background. Help me with this. How do you sell, and especially if K-State doesn't win another game this year, which they might not get the Iowa State game rescheduled, and that's the best chance they have of winning. Let's say they go 1-16. They don't get to play Iowa State. So let's say they go 1-16, and they're 5-21, and they lose the first round of the Big 12 tournament. So they go 5-22. They don't win another game. 5-22, 1-16, and after the season they had last year, how do you possibly, as Athletic Director Gene Taylor and Kansas State University, how do you sell that to the fans and to the people that consume K-State men's basketball? Because we know now people aren't even using the allotment of tickets that are allowed at Bramlage. What's going to happen next year when Bruce Weber comes back?
That's a good question. It's a hard question to answer.
Sure.
It certainly would not be popular with everyone if the scenario you just painted happens. But I would probably still argue that if it's that bad and they really can't win another game this season, that I think that one way or another there will probably be a different coach next season. But if they decide to bring Bruce back, even with that, then really all you could do is just say, look, these last two seasons were just an aberration. Over the course of his tenure here, 9 years, he's hung three banners, and we think that if we stick with this team, he'll do it again. Now, I'm not saying that would go over sure. great with everybody. That would probably leave a lot of upset people, but that would probably have to be the approach you go with. And I will say, as hard as it is to forgive the kind of losing that they have right now, if you're purely just looking, projecting out what happens next season, if this team does stay healthy and Bruce is back, will they be better? I would say yes.
Right.
So that's kind of where it's at. Could they be better? Yes. Is it easy to sell optimism right now? No.
So, right.
Kind of a difficult deal.
Yeah, I'm glad you and I don't have to sell that for sure. Kansas State, right now, as we said, 5-15 overall, 1-10 in the Big 12. Is there a game remaining on their schedule that you think they can steal? What's the best chance for them to steal the game?
Well, and we're talking about Iowa State not.
Yeah, right, not having that rescheduled, yeah.
Right. TCU, they're not running away from people right now, so that would be a game that they could get. And, Oklahoma, even though they've played well lately, Lon Kruger has never beaten Bruce Weber and Bramlage. Maybe there's some mystique there. Maybe they can steal one there. And, Kansas State actually played Oklahoma State all right the first time. So those are at least a couple options that you could say it's within the realm of possibility. Maybe they can win those games.
Gotcha. Kels Robinette, he is the beat writer for the Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star covering K-State Athletics. So it's time for off-the-wall question, Kellis. We're talking about eating Super Bowl Sunday. Today, did you know, Kellis, is National Pizza Day?
I didn't, but I like eating pizza. So
you're going to celebrate. I got you. So what do you think is the most popular pizza in the world? What's the most popular pizza you think that people order the most?
Probably pepperoni, right?
That is correct.
Kids like it. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, 36% of all pizzas ordered are pepperoni. What's your favorite type of pizza?
I'm a little off the wall. I like a little pineapple, a little bacon on there. Mm-hmm. I definitely think pineapple belongs on pizza. So
okay,
give me some pineapple bacon, pepperoni, and that's where I'd go.
All right, and the final off the wall part of that question: Americans consume an average 23 pounds of pizza per person each year. Are you above or below that number?
Sadly, I'm probably above.
Is pizza your favorite food, or do you have another one you like better than pizza?
It's up there.
Yeah.
You could say it's my favorite.
Okay,
for sure.
Cool. That'll work. All right, let everybody know how they can follow your work, and we appreciate you taking the time again today, Kellis.
Yeah, just anytime you want to read it, log on to KansasCity.com or Kansas.com, and you can get all the case of coverage you want.
Fantastic. Kellis, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, you too.
That's Kels Robinette. Does a great job covering K-State Athletics for the Wichita Eagle and the Kansas City Star. Our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Our focus on K-State Athletics today brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit.